So we want to just say thank you today. And let's take our Bibles tonight. We're going to open up to 2 Chronicles tonight. 2 Chronicles tonight. And we're going to pick it up in chapter number 20. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. And I'm thankful the Lord saved me at a young age. My parents were lost and undone. And somebody came by their door, knocked on their door, told them about Jesus. And they didn't get saved there at the door, but they eventually came to church and they got gloriously saved. And that happened when I was 2 years old. And so I've spent my life in the house of God. And I'm very thankful for that tonight, that I've been sheltered by the grace of God. I've been protected by God's grace and given an opportunity to live a life for Jesus. I'm not perfect. I've fallen short and messed up a lot of things in life, but I sure am thankful for God's directing and God's blessing in my life. When I was 16 years old, I was in an accident in high school playing football. High school football, I was returning a punt, and I was laid out by a linebacker about the size of the song leader, Brother Artis, Brother Artis, and I was out cold, and I went and got MRIs done, and they said, "Son, you're not allowed to play football anymore. You're not allowed to play organized sports anymore." There was a bleed on the base of the neck of my on my spinal cord there, and thank God the blood stopped and God spared my life. But it was then when God really began to get a hold of my heart and helped me to realize as a 16-year-old boy that I wasn't in control like I thought I was. And I wasn't as mighty as I thought I was. I wasn't as big as I thought I was. And God began to get a hold of my heart. And there was a prison revival at our church all week long. It was set up for a prison ministry, and they had prisoners come. They were able to actually, certain ones were able to get out of the prison and come to the meeting. And the preacher preached, and God got a hold of my heart, and I surrendered to the Lord full time. Lord, whatever you want me to do, Lord, I surrender my heart and my life to you. And that was when I was 16. Now I'm 32. And so it's hard to believe 16 years have passed, and God directed me through Bible college. God allowed me to meet my precious wife, have this wonderful family, and then God's placed me at Bible Baptist Church. We've been there almost 8 years, and man, I'm just thankful to say that it's good to live for God. It's good to serve God. It's good to devote our lives to Jesus Christ. I'll be honest with you, it hasn't always been easy, and it hasn't always been peaches and cream, but my friend, living for Jesus Christ is the best life that you can live for living for Him. And so I just want to say thanks to the Lord tonight for the blessing to be here. Thank you for having me. And let's look here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and just wanted to give you a little bit of background about my life. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20 tonight, and we're going to pick it up in verse number 31. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20 and verse number 31 tonight. The Bible says here in this place of Scripture, "And Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah. He was 35 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhi. And he walked in the way of Asa his father, and departed not from it, doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord." Isn't that a blessing to read that verse? "Howbeit, the high places were not taken away, for as yet the people had not prepared their hearts unto the God of their fathers." Let's pray tonight. Father, as we look to these verses tonight of your word, we pray that, Lord, that you would challenge our hearts, that you would speak to us, Lord. Father, I pray that your word would be received, Lord, that we would believe it tonight. And Lord, that we know that tonight when we believe it, it's effectual on those upon which believe it. And so God, help us to receive the word of God, Lord, as it is in truth tonight. And Lord, I pray it'd be a blessing to the hearts of these people. Remove me out of the way. Open thou our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lord, we'll thank you for what you accomplished through your word tonight. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now here, as we began to look in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we began to see the reign of Jehoshaphat, the king of Israel. Now Jehoshaphat is the fourth king of the southern kingdom Judah under the time of the divided history of Israel's kingdom. You know that Israel's kingdom began with Saul as the first king. Then King David stepped upon the throne. And then we know that after David was his son Solomon. And after Solomon, then there was a change in the next man's reigns, his life in his reign. Rehoboam took the throne. And we know that the nation was divided into two in the reign of Rehoboam. And it became divided and called the southern kingdom, if you will, Judah, and then the northern kingdom of Israel. We see it labeled that way, the kingdom and the kings of Israel, and then the kings and kingdom of Judah in the Word of God. Now, it's interesting to note that out of the 20 kings of the northern kingdom, there's not one godly king that reigned upon the throne in the kingdom of Israel in Samaria. And my friend, we learned that partly that is the reason, because the kingdom was devised on the premise of idolatry. My friend, you can't have a blessed kingdom and a blessed king without God on the throne, without God in control. And the northern kingdom was divided from the southern kingdom, but there was not one godly king that sat upon the throne. And now as we look at the southern kingdom, out of 20 kings, the Word of God tells us that only around four of them did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, listen to this, according to David their father. Out of 20 kings, only four of them would do that which was right in the sight of the Lord like David did their father. That means the Bible tells us that David sought the Lord with a good heart. He had a heart after God, didn't he? And so as we think about that tonight, we see that Jehoshaphat is one of those good kings. But even as a good king, he wasn't a perfect king. Can I get an amen there? We're all but flesh tonight. From the pulpit to the pew, every one of us are faulty by nature. And we're in need of God's help and God's strength and God's might for every aspect of our life. It doesn't matter if you're on the platform or if you're in the pew tonight. We need the Lord. And we see that even though Jehoshaphat was a good king that walked in the ways of David his father, he was not a perfect king. Now God allowed Jehoshaphat to reign over his people for 25 years. As we read, the Bible says, and in the Word of God, it says, and he walked in the way of Asa his father and departed not from it, doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. You see, I sure am glad that Jehoshaphat had a father that was a good king also. He was another one of those good kings that we read about in the reign of Israel and Judah's kingdom. But we learn here that that Jehoshaphat had a father that did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Let me say this tonight. It matters how we live our lives as parents. Might I get an amen right there? It's important how we live our lives. The decisions that we make in our homes behind closed doors is important for our children to see that our Christian walk is not just on Sunday morning, but our Christian walk is on Monday morning and Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning and all through the week. Amen? My friend, our children need to see a godly example. We need to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and not tell them to go up the right way, but bring them along, show them the way, show them the path. But I sure am glad that Jehoshaphat had a godly father. We see as we think about this tonight that God in his grace had given Israel with Jehoshaphat and his father 64 years of a good heritage. Two kings walking after David, their father, right in the sight of the Lord. But as we look here in 2 Chronicles 20, I want you to look there with me again in the text that we began to read together here tonight. Look there with me in verse 33. The Bible says this, Howbeit, the high places were not taken away, for as yet the people had not prepared their hearts unto the God of their fathers. I want you to see tonight that even though Jehoshaphat was a good king and he reigned with a heart after God, it says here in this verse that the high places were not removed because the people's hearts were not prepared to seek the Lord. Here we see that even with the good reign of Jehoshaphat, walking rightly before the Lord, the high places were not removed. Now you say, well, preacher, what are the high places referring to? Now in 1 Kings chapter 3, the Bible says only the people, 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 2 says, only the people sacrificed in high places because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. So we see there in 1 Kings chapter 3 that these high places were used as a place of offering, even though the tabernacle was set up, the temple had not yet been built. The people, out of convenience, would rather sacrifice in the high place than go to the place that God had designated for them to sacrifice. We see here that the high places were set up, and even King Solomon sacrificed in the high places. The high places were ideas which Israel had adopted from the people of the lands rather than from the commandment of the Lord. The Bible tells us in the law that God had told them that he did not desire for them to partake in that he wanted them to destroy and remove the high places of the people in the lands, the heathen people in the lands. In Numbers chapter 33, it says in verse 51, he says, "Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then shall ye drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you and destroy all their pictures." God didn't want God's people having the pictures that the heathen had. He says, "I want you to destroy their pictures." He says, "and destroy all their molten images and quite pluck down all their high places." What was God's instruction for the people of Israel when they entered the land of Canaan? "I want you to destroy the pictures, the images, and all of the things that they worship, and I want you to pluck down all the high places." We see that a high place was something adopted from the world that was not determined or described by the Word of God. Israel was using the world's method to worship rather than using God's method of worship ordained by the book of the law. How had God established worship? He wanted them to come to the tabernacle, the house of God, and he wanted them to burn incense upon his altar. He wanted them to sacrifice lambs and offerings upon his altar. But out of convenience and their negligence, they are offering those sacrifices in the high places. Even though Jehoshaphat was a good king who walked right in the sight of the Lord, Israel is still offering in the high places. Judah has not let go of their high places to seek the Lord. My friend, is there some areas in our life that we just have not let go of, that God has not approved of, that we are holding on to because we just have not prepared our heart to seek the Lord this evening? We see, as we look here tonight, we want to notice this. We ask the question, were the high places not removed because of a lack of enforcement? I want you to go back to 2 Chronicles 17 with me. 2 Chronicles 17, and then I want you to pick it up in verse number 3 here. 2 Chronicles chapter 17 begins to show us the beginning of Jehoshaphat's reign. And we notice here in verse number 3. The Bible says in verse 3, "And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the ways of his father David, and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel." Therefore, the Lord established the kingdom in his hand. And all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor and abundance. Now watch verse 6. This is important. It says, and his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. I want to point out here, his heart is not lifted up in pride. His heart is lifted up in pursuit of God. My friend, his heart is not lifted up in pride, but is lifted up in pursuit of God. It says in verse 6, and his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away, what? The high places and groves out of Judah. We see at the beginning of Jehoshaphat's reign, what did he do? He cleared out all of the high places, didn't he? I mean, God had worked in his heart. God had moved in his heart. And he said, we've got to get rid of these places where offerings are being made that are not orchestrated from the word of God. And so he began to remove those high places and the groves out of Judah. And we see that it was enforced there. The second question we want to ask tonight, were the high places not removed because of the lack of discernment? Now, as you look here in chapter 17, guess what Jehoshaphat began to do as the Lord began to establish him? He began to send out his servants, the Levites, to teach the people out of the book of the law. Can you imagine a government like that? Man, wouldn't that be something? If the government began to send forth the word of God and teach that as the curriculum in the school system once again. Man, I remember when I was in Bible college that I held a Old Testament survey book that was good to the word of God. It was straight to the word of God. And my friend, you know where it came out of? It came out of a high school, a public school in the 40s. And we used that survey book out of a public school in our Bible college because the information there was true. I'll tell you, we've gone a long way the wrong way, my friend. But here we look in verse number 6, he says, and his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and the groves out of Judah. And as we began to read down, we see that he begins to send forth his priests and Levites to teach the people. Look at verse 9 of chapter 17. It says, and they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them and went about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. Man, what a blessing. We see that Jehoshaphat, not only is he enforced that the high places be removed, but he's teaching the people why the high places need to be removed. And oh, that we would teach the word of God and instruct people to know the truth. I mean, we ought to know why we do what we do, why we believe the Bible, why we go soul winning, why we live for God, why we pray. All of those things, we should understand the whys. My friend, if we lose the why, we'll lose the fact that we're doing it tonight. We see tonight that the high places were, it's not because the high places were not removed because of a lack of enforcement. The high places were not removed because of a lack of discernment. But then number 3, the high places were not removed because of a lack of reinforcement. Go with me to chapter 19 of 2 Chronicles here. Look there with me in verse number 3. The Bible says here in 2 Chronicles chapter 19 and verse number 3, nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. The Bible is, as we look here, the prophet is speaking to Jehoshaphat. Notice what he says in verse 4. And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem. And he went out, what is that next word? Again. This is reinforcement. He says he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. My friend, we see that as we look here tonight, there has been enforcement of these high places. There's been discernment about these high places, and there's been reinforcement upon the issue. But the Bible tells us tonight in verse 33 of our text, the high places, howbeit the high places were not what? Removed. Because the people had what? Not prepared their heart to seek the Lord. That's interesting. Does it catch your attention tonight that Jehoshaphat has gone through all of these measures to remove these high places? But as we look at the end of his reign in 2 Chronicles 20, in verse number 33, that we see that the people still continue to worship in the high places. Because they're what? Their hearts have not been prepared to seek the Lord. Now, as we consider that tonight, how did Israel fail to prepare their heart unto God? Why did this take place? They had a good king, the Bible says. Yes, he had shortcomings, but we see tonight that he served the Lord and pursued God with all of his heart in verse number 32. And he walked in that which was right before the sight of the Lord in verse number 32. But why are these high places still yet not removed? We notice tonight that Jehoshaphat had prepared his heart to seek God, but the people had not. There are those of us tonight who will prepare our hearts to seek God, and I'll just be quite frank tonight, there's going to be people that just will not seek God with their heart. My friend, tonight, you're either seeking God with your heart or you're not seeking God. I can't make you or not make you tonight. God's the one that's going to work in your heart, but there's those of us tonight who are going to seek God, and there's those of us who are not going to seek God. As we look at Israel, Jehoshaphat was in pursuit of God, but the people yet still had these high places. The Bible says, as we read the Word of God, Solomon, as he spoke to his children, the Proverbs. Oh, don't you love the Proverbs? Man, I love the book of Proverbs, filled with so many things for our understanding and our knowledge and wisdom. By the way, those three words are key in the book of Proverbs. But Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 says this, as Solomon speaks to his children, he says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." You know where my problems arrive? They arrive from my heart tonight. That's where the problems of life stem from, is my heart's direction and my heart's pursuit tonight. The Bible warns us about our heart. Jeremiah said that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And so as we learn tonight, the Bible teaches us to guard and protect our heart. It ought to be our duty as fathers to teach our children to guard their heart. This world is pulling at their heart. The things of the world are pulling at their heart. Hollywood is pulling at their heart. All sorts of areas of life that we look at is pulling at their heart. My friend, we got to teach our children to guard their heart. I like what Solomon said to his children later on. Proverbs 23 and verse 26 says, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." You know what Solomon said to his children? "Son, if you will give me your heart, I will protect your heart. And if you'll observe my ways, I'll teach you the direction that you need to go." And my friend, tonight, the book of Proverbs is not just from Solomon to his children tonight. The book of Proverbs is from God to his children tonight. And God wants us to give him our heart and observe his ways. So here's the question tonight, as we look at this passage and we see that these high places are there because the people had not prepared their hearts unto the God of their fathers. I want you to begin to look with me tonight and see four things as we consider this passage. Why did the people of Judah not prepare their heart unto God? I want to share with you, number one, of what I saw in the scripture. Number one, I believe they failed to consider the blessing of a heart in pursuit of God. You say, why are these high places still there? Why are these things that God had not ordained and had God not commanded, why are they still in their life? It's because they failed to see the blessing of a heart that is in pursuit of God. What are you talking about, preacher? Well, let's go back to chapter 17 here. I want you to see Jehoshaphat's pursuit of God. As we look here in 2 Chronicles 17, I want you to begin to read with me in verse 3 again. And I want us to notice the pursuit of Jehoshaphat. The Bible says in verse 3, "And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the first ways of his father David, and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel." Now watch what happens in verse 5. "Therefore," what? "The Lord," what did he do? "Established the kingdom." My friend, I can't make my life good, but God can make my life good. I can't make the lives of my children good, but God can make the lives of those children right there on that pew good. God can use their lives. God can bless their lives tonight if they can see that it's Him and a pursuit of Him that's going to give them that good life, that blessed life tonight. We see in verse 5, he says, "Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in His hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance." How do we, recognize here in verse number 5? We see that Jehoshaphat is pursuing God with all of his heart. And what does God begin to do? God begins to establish the kingdom in his hand, doesn't he? God begins to give him riches in abundance, and God begins to bless the kingdom of Jehoshaphat tonight. I want us to see the blessing of the Lord here. As you begin to read down through this chapter, you see that God establishes Jehoshaphat. Look there with me in verse number 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 12. It says, "And Jehoshaphat waxed great," what? "Exceedingly. And he built in Judah castles and cities in store. And he had much business in the cities of Judah. And the men of war, mighty men of valor, were in Jerusalem." As you begin to read down through these verses, we don't have time tonight, but you can go and read those verses and you'll see that God established all these mighty men in these cities around Jehoshaphat. It's like God just built an empire around Jehoshaphat because he was seeking the Lord his God with all his heart. I want you to see tonight, why do we allow high places to remain in our lives? It's because we fail to consider the blessing that God can give to the heart that's in pursuit of him. God wants to bless our life. My friend, I'm not talking about always materialistic blessings. I'm just saying that living for Jesus Christ carries with it the blessing and the provision of God. We see that these people failed to see that. It was happening before their very eyes, wasn't it? God was blessing Jehoshaphat and the kingdom. But what do we read in our text? "Howbeit, the high places were not removed." My friend, number two tonight, not only do I think that they failed to consider the blessing of a heart given in pursuit of God, but then number two, I believe they focused on the failures of Jehoshaphat. My friend, it's so easy to get distracted in this Christian life. It's so easy to get our eyes off of Jesus and get our eyes on people around us. It's so easy to become absorbed with the things that people are doing instead of focusing on what Jesus wants us to be doing. As we begin to look at Jehoshaphat, we see that God blessed him as he sought God with all of his heart. And then I want you to notice what happens in chapter 18. Look there in chapter 18 with me tonight. The Bible says in verse number 1, "Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance and joined affinity with Ahab." My friend, if there's one thing that Jehoshaphat did wrong, here's where he went wrong right here. He has just united and associated himself, yoked himself with the king of Israel, who is an idolater, an evil man, Ahab. We see that the Bible says that he joins affinity here. We notice as we look at Jehoshaphat's life, Jehoshaphat had a problem with hanging out with the wrong people. Jehoshaphat did it with Ahab, and Micaiah the prophet warned him. We see that Jehoshaphat, he joined affinity with Ahaziah, Ahab's son, and another prophet Elijah prophesied against him. Jehoshaphat had an affinity with Jehoram, and Elisha, the man of God, shamed him in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 12. My friend, it's easy to get our eyes off of the Lord and to get our eyes focused on the failures of others, and we'll allow that to keep us from seeking God. My friend, I hope tonight that you're not allowing somebody that has harmed you or somebody that has done something wrong in your life keeping you from moving forward in your relationship with Jesus Christ. You say, why were these high places still in their life? It's because they had not prepared their heart before the Lord. They began to focus on the failures of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat sought the Lord with all his heart, and the next thing that they know, what's he doing? He's joining affinity with Ahab. And when he joined affinity with Ahab, he showed the people that he could deal with the wicked. He showed the people how to defend the wicked. He showed the people how to disregard the Lord. He showed the people how to despise the man of God. He showed the people to disobey the Lord. And we see that Israel's focus was derailed by Jehoshaphat's shortcoming. My friend, it's easy to get our eyes off the Lord, isn't it? And allow our focus to be detoured because of what we see around us. My friend, is there some things in our heart, in our life, that we just haven't let go because we're still using so-and-so as a justification for that thing being in our life? We're still using this situation or that situation as a crutch or as a reason to keep that thing in our life that we just won't let go and begin to pursue God again. My friend tonight, I believe that as we look at the text here in chapter 18, again in 1 Kings chapter 22 and 2 Kings chapter 3, we see that Jehoshaphat continued to have a problem with joining affinity, and we see that it affected the nation. My friend, I want you to see number three. Why were these high places not removed, and why had they failed to seek the Lord with all their heart? Number three tonight, I believe they failed to see the faithfulness of the Lord. Let's go to chapter number 20 tonight. I want you to see this. Chapter number 20. God delivers Jehoshaphat in chapter 18. You recall the battle? Jehoshaphat went to battle with Ahab. Ahab disguised himself as another man, and Jehoshaphat wore Ahab's armor. How in the world did Ahab convince Jehoshaphat to wear his armor to battle? I don't know how that happened, but the Bible says it did. And the Bible says that the men, as they came to battle against Jehoshaphat, he cried unto the Lord, and God delivered him, and they stopped, didn't they? They didn't kill Jehoshaphat in battle. But my friend, when God's got his mark on you, you're not getting away from God. Ahab thought he was going to get out of the heat of the battle, and the Bible says a stray arrow hit Ahab. Ahab thought he was going to disguise himself and move around the word of the prophet Micaiah, but God's word is true, as we saw this morning. God took out Ahab, didn't he, with a stray arrow. That arrow wasn't a stray, by the way. It was playing for Ahab, wasn't it? In chapter number 19, we see that God delivers Jehoshaphat and brings him through that situation. And Jehoshaphat, he gets his heart right with God, and he begins to seek the Lord again. He begins to teach the people again. But then I want you to look with me in chapter number 20, verse 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after this also, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah." Now what's happened? There's an enemy that's come against Jehoshaphat here in chapter number 20. And what is Jehoshaphat's response? He begins to seek God. And we see as he calls upon God, and we see as the people begin to call upon God. And I want you to notice the Bible says this here in verse number 16. Or rather, verse 15, 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 15. It says this, "And he said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but whose? God's." Here's what's happened. There's an enemy that's come against Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat has sought the Lord and began to call upon God. And God has promised the people what? This battle's not your battle. This battle's my battle. Verse 16 says, "Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. And ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." That's the promise of God right there. The enemies come against them. They've called upon God, and God has given word through his man to reveal to them that the battle is not theirs, but it is the Lord's, and that they will overcome them and that God would be with them. I want you to see verse number 20. The Bible says, "And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophet, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord." Now, that's the way to go to battle right there. Amen. I mean, the trial lay in front of us. Instead of doubting the Lord, we ought to be worshiping God and praising the Lord because we know he's able. And so what does the Bible tell us here? That as they're heading to battle here, the singers begin to sing, verse 21, and that should praise the beauty of his holiness. And as they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Now watch this. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come up against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and to destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. Watch verse 24. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. What had God done? God had shown his faithfulness, hadn't he? God had proved his faithfulness here. My friend, I see tonight that as we look at the high places not being taken away, as we look at the hearts of the people not being prepared, we see that they failed to consider the blessing of a heart in pursuit of God. They failed to focus on, they focused on the failures of Jehoshaphat. They failed to see the faithfulness of the Lord. But then number four tonight, lastly, they failed to realize the peace that God had granted them. Notice with me now as we look in verse number 29, the Bible says, as the battle is concluded, and the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. Now watch this. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was what? Quiet. What had God given Jehoshaphat and the people of Israel? He had given them peace. My friend tonight, what is it that causes us to not remove the high places in our life tonight? I don't know what the high place is in your life. I'm not sure what's going on in your heart and life tonight. But if there's a high place that you haven't removed, I want you to consider tonight the blessing of a heart that's in pursuit of God. I want you to consider tonight, let's not focus upon the failures of those around us and keep us from seeking God. Let's not fail to see the faithfulness of the Lord. And let's not fail to see and realize the peace that God is able to grant to us if we'll be in pursuit of Him tonight. I want you to read with me there in verse 31 as we finish. The Bible says, "And Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah. He was 30 and 5 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 20 and 5 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhai. And he walked in the way of Asa his father, and departed not from it, doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord." My friend tonight, I want to encourage you. If we want revival tonight, let's prepare our heart unto the Lord by observing these things that we see in the text of the Word of God. And let's begin to remove those things that prevent revival in our heart, that prevent revival in our life, that prevent revival in our churches. See, I believe God wants us to remove those areas that we just have not surrendered to Him. If we'll surrender those tonight, God might spark revival in our hearts as a child of God. God might spark revival here in this place. I can't give you revival tonight. I can't bring revival, but the Lord can this evening. Let's bow our heads.